post-fire debris management in Sonoma and Mendocino counties. And I see Mr. Charles Reed is going to lead us off.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chairman Noren and members of the board. Charles Reed, I am a supervisor of the groundwater permitting unit here at the North Coast Water Board. Last time I gave you an update on debris management for the 2017 wildfires was in December when we were in the thick of things, and at the time you asked for an update when the dust had settled, and we're at that point right now. So I've asked and they've graciously accepted to help me do this presentation. We have Trish Pazenti from the Sonoma County Department of Transportation and Public Works, and with her also is Glenn Morelli, who is a professional engineer with the same department, and we also have Mr. Pete Powells from representing Republic Services. They'll be giving their perspectives on this debris management effort. And as you mentioned, this is an information item, and you'll be not asked to make any decisions on this. All right, so today I'm going to, some of this is going to be a rehash of what we talked about in December. I'll go over the debris management framework, because it's important, and I'll talk about our conditional waiver of waste discharge requirements that we adopted in late 2017. And I have one slide talking about, at least one slide talking about how those two how the framework worked out as we went forward, and how the conditional waiver is being used currently. At that point, I'll turn it over to Trish and Glenn, and also Pete. And when they've concluded, I'll give you a brief update on the what we know about the 2018 fires, which most of which are contained now, but it's still early. There could be more. So I think it was important to talk about the debris management framework, because it was it's different than we would normally see in the course of an emergency. In normal circumstances, we would have the state's Office of Emergency Services taking the lead. They'd be working with the local agencies and Cal Recycle for debris management. Given the scope of this this fire and this disaster in 2017, the governor, when he proclaimed a disaster, also requested assistance from the federal government for assistance in recovery of this fire, and that in essence federalized the recovery, and which created a whole different framework that we were somewhat unused to. So once that federal framework came into action, it was FEMA who was the oversight agency. They were brought in to assist with displaced persons and provide assistance and funding for debris removal. They tasked the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to lead the effort for debris management, and they also brought in the U.S. EPA to deal with hazardous waste. At the local level, the Office of Emergency Services was still participating, but because Cal Recycle was already busy, still dealing with the 2015-2016 fires in Lake County, and with some of the concurrent fires during 2017, they were available to oversee the debris removal from the state perspective. And the Sonoma County and the City of Santa Rosa were also there to facilitate Army Corps contracts to clean up the debris. Uh, The agencies involved with this framework formed into a debris task force that met daily for a number of months after the fires. And that's where the incident commander was situated. In Sonoma, in Mendocino County, the management framework was a little bit more what we would be accustomed to. The Office of Emergency Services was the lead, and they, rather than tasked Cal Recycle, they dealt with DTSC as a state representative. So this slide depicts the type of fire debris we were expecting to see and where we expected it to ultimately end up. So on the left of the slide here is where most of the debris ended up. Most of the 200 or 2.2 million tons of debris, it ended up in the RCRA Subtitle D landfill. And also ended up in recycling. The bulk of the ash and fire impacted soil was finally disposed of in central landfill, which is a Subtitle D landfill. And 20% of that, roughly 20% of that, of the total tonnage, ended up being recycled, and that included metal debris, burned vehicles, and concrete. That waste, which could not be landfilled or recycled, was generally hazardous waste, household hazardous waste, and asbestos in some cases. That was handled, as I mentioned earlier, by US EPA. That ultimately was boxed up and taken to a Class 1 landfill outside the region. And finally, there was some debris that was staged prior to final disposal, and also some that is currently being staged for eventual recycling. That includes organic material. And we also expect, if we were to get a significant rainfall this summer or this winter, we might see some mud flow and some landslides that in that waste would be also potentially temporarily staged. So one of the regional board's major contribution to this fire response was implementing the governor's proclamation, which was intended to facilitate quick cleanup and recovery, and also at the same time protect human health and the environment. So, in the immediate aftermath of the fire, it was painfully evident, really, that we didn't have an order available to implement this proclamation. So we partnered with the state board's land disposal program and some other people from throughout the state to develop a conditional waiver, kind of on the fly. And this was in the midst of our office being closed after the fires and in the weeks following that. We also were working with the director of Cal EPA, and we requested of that director to allow our executive officer to issue this this conditional waiver in the absence of a board meeting. The director granted that request with the caveat that we had to bring this waiver back before our board in a regular public hearing as soon as possible. So that temporary waiver was issued on November 3rd, and the final waiver we brought before you in December 13th board meeting last year. So the waiver, in addition to applying to fires, which was our immediate need, it also could be used for other disasters like floods, storms, earthquakes, or in the event of mass animal mortalities. It was intended for use to enable our local municipal solid waste our current landfill to dispose of waste and stage waste as necessary prior to final disposal. And also, it was going to be intended to be used for temporary waste staging for other types of waste as necessary. The one condition was that to enroll under the conditional waiver, a potential discharger needed to apply and get coverage under this conditional waiver within 30 days after starting the discharge. So currently we have a number of people enrolled under the conditional waiver. Republic Services was obviously the most immediate enrollee. They enrolled, I think they were our first enrollee, and they actually started the property cleanups in November of 2017, the week after, I believe it was the week after the fires, or actually the week after the conditional waiver was issued, temporary conditional waiver was issued. And we also had a very good response from Pacific Recycling Solutions and M&M Services, who took concrete, metal debris, cars, Pacific Recycling Solutions also housed the EPA's hazardous waste staging area. The Soylent Company also took quite a lot of concrete and recycled that at Stony Point Quarry. And finally, the County of Sonoma opened up an area on the closed airport landfill to be able to stage organic material. They also set up a chip and grind operation that would allow that to happen on site there. Currently, there are no current enrollees in Mendocino County. I would owe that to the fact that it's a smaller size of a disaster, and they were able to handle a lot of things on their own. We also determined that there were a number of facilities that didn't need coverage under the condition waiver by virtue of their business model. A good example of that would be Cream's auto dismantling. They received a lot of burnt vehicles, and that was well within their business structure, so we didn't require a coverage under the conditional waiver. But they had to also maintain compliance with the industrial stormwater permit for that. So finally, I'll talk a little bit about what we think worked and what we think are opportunities for improvement. So what worked, and I kind of put this in at the last minute, I think we all recognize we were very lucky in a lot of regards in the debris management for this fire. Republic Services was just about to open a new waste management unit at the central landfill that, if it hadn't been available, it would have significantly delayed the cleanup. Also, we were although we're never lucky when we don't get rain, we were lucky in this case that we didn't get a lot of rain during the winter season, which allowed the cleanup to proceed for the most part unimpeded. What also worked, our local coordination with local agencies and industries. While we didn't have an official seat at the debris task force, Diana Henriel of our staff attended almost every meeting and provided input where she could, and coordinated with the local agencies who were part of the debris task force to get our interests heard. Also, Terry Chia, who works in the landfill unit, did a tremendous amount of work working with Sonoma County and some of the other agencies in getting our interests and advice moved forward. Also, our former staff, Paul Kieran, did a lot of outreach to local industries to get them interested in participating in the recovery and being using their abilities as staging areas. There was also a tremendous response from local industry. They all stepped up and did a great job. Pacific Recycling Solutions and Soylent, they immediately jumped in and started taking this and this this debris for recycling. One other thing that I would say worked, although there's been a lot of criticism of the Army Corps' performance in debris management, we can say that they did the cleanup quickly. For example, I think they originally said they would have the debris removed from all the parcels within 60 days, and at the time we thought that couldn't happen. But they ended up clearing Coffee Park by the end of January, 90 days, and they ended up finishing all the clearing of properties within 7 months after they began, over 6,000 homes, which is truly remarkable. So with those good things to say, I think there are some opportunities for improvement. I think primarily with our coordination with the California Office of Emergency Services, we were able to provide a lot of good information and got a lot of good advice to the local agencies. It would be nice if we had a little bit more an official role in that capacity. Even if it's not a seat at the table, at least a voice in it, because we think the process would have worked a lot better if we had a louder voice in this. Secondly, with any operation like this, planning is very important, and we've came away from this. With a desire and a recognition that we need more emergency planning, more advanced planning, integrated, coordinated approach to deal with the debris as it comes, as it's removed from properties, both to better spread the debris around so no particular landfill uses its capacity too quickly. And managing the traffic that is generated. You may recall from the December hearing, I had a couple of photographs of all the trucks that were lined up waiting to dispose of debris at the landfill. Hundreds of trucks waiting hours in line to use a landfill. So if a more coordinated approach could be had, we might be able to control that traffic issue. We also would think would be a very good idea to, for advanced planning, to pre-select staging areas so we can quickly roll out and stage debris for final disposal or recycling in a very expeditious manner. All right, with that, I'll turn it over to Trish and Glenn and Pete and let them give you their perspective on this issue.
All right, well, good morning, Chairman Norman, board members. I am Trish Piceni. I'm the Interim Deputy Director of Transportation and Operations for the County of Sonoma, and I also served as the county's lead on the Debris Task Force. I'm going to go through most of my slides fairly quick because Charles and I have covered a lot of similar topics, and in the interest of time, I will just try to focus on the areas that Charles didn't touch on. Whoops. So, is mine? I'll just go through yours.
Yeah, and that's, you can just back up those.
So,
Is she gonna take care of
it. Okay, great. it should be the Sonoma County Complex Fires. don't have it?
Should be there. It's not attached to my profile.
Okay.
There we go. All right. So again, thank you for the opportunity this morning to give you an update, an overview of the debris task force. As we all remember, on October 9th, there were four major fires that broke out in Sonoma County, lasting 23 days until containment. Nearly 7,000 structures were destroyed. Over 110,000 acres were burned. 24 fatalities. 9 medical facilities were evacuated. We had 3 mobile home parks that suffered damage, 2 acute care hospitals evacuated, and 4 schools were destroyed. Again, several emergency declarations were declared, and I do want to thank you for the emergency debris management permitting process that your board established, which helped us get moving and get our facilities ready for the acceptance of the burn waste. Transitioning to recovery was chaos for the first few weeks. As Charles pointed out, we had multiple agencies that we needed to coordinate, and just trying to find a time that we could get all the agencies in one room at one time in the beginning was very challenging. We transitioned to recovery from 2 separate emergency operating centers to a joint incident command structure. And through that structure, there were several task forces that were developed. As Charles talked about, in the early days of the debris task force, as we were establishing this group, it was decided that, you know, it was very important to have the lead agency decision makers at the table so we could quickly move through this process and gain the coordination that we needed to gain. But what was extremely frustrating was trying to figure out the role of the local government. Our staff, as well as your staff, as well as the LEA, were not included in any of the side meetings that were taking place where they were actually formulating the plans as to how the debris cleanup would take place. And in the end, as Charles suggested, going forward, we agree totally that is a place that we all should have been present, and it would have made for a much, much smoother, I think, process to get us up and going. But we did meet 7 days a week for several weeks, sometimes multiple times a day. Our purpose was to set goals for fast recovery and environmental protection, to track action items, make decisions, and hold people accountable. It's kind of hard to see, but those were some of the tents that we actually met in for a few months until we had a place to actually hold our weekly meetings. The community outreach was a critical focus of our debris task force. There were several town hall and community meetings. A website was established, SonomaCountyRecovers.org. The complexity of this incident created messaging challenges. Information, directions, they were changing constantly. All the forms, applications, guidance documents, everything was included on the web page, including press releases. We also, the Army Corps set up a debris removal hotline, which became very helpful to the property owners, as there were several questions as this process got up and going. And so that debris hotline was very effective. The cleanup was split into 2 phases. As Charles said, we had the EPA heading up the household hazardous cleanup, which was phase 1. And that phase went very smooth and very fast. They came in. Part of what helped was they did not need a right of entry form for any of the from any of the owners. And they also cleaned all properties. They went through every property that was impacted, cleared the any hazardous waste, and they were through a good majority of their cleanup by the end of December. They went back afterwards and did the asbestos, but the majority of the properties had all been hit by December, which was really a great accomplishment for that team. And the second part of our cleanup was the fire debris removal. Residential property owners had two choices. They could opt in to the government public program, or they could choose to hire their own contractors and take care of the cleanup by themselves. However, they would still have to follow the same standards of the government program. We had 3,700 residential properties that participated in the Army Corps cleanup program. Each one of them had to sign a right of entry form, which was a very cumbersome and administrative process that they had to go through before we could start their cleanups. We had 1,200 properties that opted out to do their own cleanup. They had a process they needed to file. They had to complete an application as well as a work plan. And I have Glenn here today because he was very instrumental in setting up that program and managing it, you know, for everybody that did not participate in the government program. We did use a GIS system to manage the cleanup status, which was a very helpful tool for all the agencies involved as well as the property owners. Back to our right of entry. You know, the right of entry, as I said, we had 3,700 properties that were going to be opt into the program. So Environmental Health set up a processing center. They ran 7 days a week for several weeks to assist the property owners in getting signed up for the program. All in all, they processed over 5,000 ROEs, and they also handled the processing of 1,200 private applications for the private cleanup. So a lot of administrative work, especially when we had a lot of property owners opting in, opting out. And even though we set some very rigid timelines, we had to be very flexible and sensitive to what these people were going through. And so we provided a lot of flexibility, which just added a lot of administrative cost and time to, you know, to be able to afford that to them. Just some pictures of the GIS maps that we had. It was a map. You could pull it up on your phone. It would allow you to view your parcel, the status of where it was on the cleanup, as well as aerial photos that had been taken by CAL FIRE. Another map here that would kind of show you was through a color coding process. We could tell exactly where a property was in the process of their cleanup, as well as if they were part of the government program or on a private program. While wildfires are not new to California, you know, the complexity of the Sonoma County fire was, you know, we had 2 weeks of destruction impacting not only rural but urban areas. And you know, it turned out it ended up being the largest debris operation mission in California history. Vehicles, we estimate we had 4,000 to 5,000 vehicles that needed to be removed from public right of way as well as, you know, the private properties. It took several law enforcement agencies to help us accomplish that. We had to set up staging areas. Public Works was involved because once a vehicle was removed, then there was ash left on the roadway, and so it was kind of this constant cleanup going on to just dealing with the vehicles alone. As Charles said, we had 2.2 million tons of fire debris that were taken to our local two local landfills as well as recycling facilities, and I think Pete got almost half of that, which was astronomical. And again, 20% of it was recycled. Green waste was a challenge. There was several properties with burned trees. We did offer some chipper programs, but as we speak today, there's still several property owners that have this challenge of burned trees that was not part of the Army Corps cleanup, and we are still working and trying to find ways to help them deal with that challenge. Sonoma County Public Works, we spent $1.2 million just in the first 2 weeks after the fires with tree removal and erosion control contracts just to get our public roads open and safe. Again, lucky, yes, landfill capacity was not a challenge for us, and that was a blessing. Vehicle permitting, there was over 600 vehicles that came into Sonoma County to assist with this cleanup operation. Each one of those vehicles needed to be permitted through the LEA. And again, multiple waivers issued, helping us do the work we needed to do. BMPs, you know, we started the cleanup in November, right at the beginning of our rainy season. And so BMPs were a high focus throughout the cleanup. Street cleaning was a constant issue. We were continually out there trying to clean up as the streets, as the cleanup was going on, and it was just kind of a non-ending process. So complaint handling, that really ended up being the main role for the leads for the county and the city, although I think it served a very important role. Since we were at the table each week with the top decision makers of each of the organizations, it really allowed us to resolve a lot of the issues very, very quickly. Lessons learned, there needs to be a rapid response team, similar to an incident management team, but specific to helping the CUPA, environmental health, and others know what they need to start thinking about. Jurisdictions need updated disaster debris management plans. They need updated on-call procurement contracts, which that definitely saved, definitely helped Sonoma County, you know, in those first 2 weeks after the fires. And again, local government just needs that to be involvement, needs to be involved with the planning and the contracting services. Aggressive goals, you know, it is amazing that the cleanup, I think, was completed as quickly as it was. But again, there's been a lot of criticism for the quality control. There were some safety concerns, and the cost was astronomical. Current status, the debris task force continues to meet weekly. County still has a hotline where we're dealing with issues still today. There is an over-excavation project in place. You know, our state partners stepped in and agreed that there were properties that were over-excavated by the Army Corps, and they agreed to make it right. So anybody that felt their property was over-excavated was able to have an evaluation by the state, and if the state agreed, they are bringing back in soil to those properties. So we hope to wrap that up in the next 4 to 6 weeks. Currently, Sonoma County is in the process of contracting out more tree removal along county roads. There was about 1,000 trees that have been deemed extreme or high risk, and they will be removed over the next 3 to 6 months. There's still probably another almost 10,000 trees that were deemed to be a moderate risk to county roads, and they will be evaluated annually as we move forward. That's it. Thank you.
Chairman, Board, good morning. My name is Pete Powells. I'm the operations manager for Republic Services, the contractor to the County of Sonoma under the Master Operations Agreement. I don't have a PowerPoint. I do want to echo some of the things that Bill Charles and Trish said with regard to how we all responded to this. And so I kind of wrote a little story. So rather than showing you a PowerPoint, I kind of want to share from my perspective what we went through. So my wife and I were actually in Los Angeles, October 8th, 2017. And at 4 a.m. in the morning, I started getting phone calls from my employees informing me of a massive wildfire. Our flight from Los Angeles to Santa Rosa had been canceled, so we grabbed a rental car and we drove back home. The first order of business for any disaster response is to secure our employees. The morning of October 9th, we sheltered our employees and their families inside the conference room at the landfill. We provided them food, snacks, restrooms, showers, toys for the kids, and we allowed them to work out a way to find suitable places to stay while they were under the immediate evacuation orders. I'd like to note that this is the same process that Republic Services has for response to any other disaster, and it mirrors the way that we took care of our employees who were affected by Hurricane Irma in Florida and Alabama and Hurricane Harvey in Houston last year. The company's feeling is that once employees' immediate needs are met, then we can turn our attention to meeting the community's needs. As Trish pointed out, in the first few weeks following the wildfire, there was quite a bit of misinformation. But we worked with county staff to understand how the cleanup process would begin. There were rumors that CalRecycle would take the lead, then the state through CalOES. We stayed in communication with county staff regarding intel, daily and weekly updates, and scheduling coordination. Ultimately, as you heard, the cleanup for Sonoma County fell to the Army Corps of Engineers. We have a special waste department specific that deals with these sorts of things, so they began working with the Corps' prime contractors to provide bid pricing. Meanwhile, we submit a request to your staff for a waiver of conditions to our WDRs to handle the incoming non-hazardous ash, soil, and debris. As Charles pointed out, your staff had just approved a 14-acre waste cell on the former compost deck with an overliner system. And this overliner contained appropriate engineering controls and LCRS system to manage the incoming fire waste materials per the waiver that you just granted us. So there was a lot of coordination that we certainly appreciated. And I have to agree, luck. We also submitted waiver requests to the health department, the local enforcement agency, relative to hours of operation and tonnage limits. We would only accept profiled and manifested waste loads and only at the central landfill. This would assure that the fire waste materials were not going to the outside transfer stations, and we could control the flow as well as ensure each load was properly identified as required by the Corps. We received waivers from both agencies and were ready to evaluate our capabilities to accept the fire waste. So we determined to use the new 14-acre cell exclusively for the fire waste, but this meant that we had to move our municipal solid waste, or MSW, fill operations to another area of the landfill, much to Terry Chia's chagrin. But, you know, she worked graciously with us through this whole time period. We also made application to your staff to begin constructing an additional cell to ensure that we would not run out of airspace. Once the Army Corps established their plan for the cleanup, we began to ramp up our operations. We brought in Republic Services employees from out of state, some of whom who had just finished helping in Houston with Hurricane Harvey. We brought in outside contractors to aid with the receiving and covering the fire waste with clean soil at the end of each shift. We hired temporary employees to assist with spotting trucks and dealing with traffic control issues. As mentioned earlier, for many days, we had hundreds of trucks on site waiting to enter and leave the site. And this was due to the Corps' requirements that each truck weighs in and weighs out. The trucks would sometimes back up onto Meacham Road and create safety and neighborhood concerns, not to mention the interest of the KRON news crews, helicopter flyovers, and inquiries from the Press Democrat. We were able to implement a predetermined tear weight process acceptable to the Corps, which greatly reduced the wait time for the incoming trucks. We brought in 3 70-foot truck scales in addition to the ones that were there to accommodate the increased volume of trucks. We ultimately were able to reduce the wait time for the incoming trucks to 1.5 minutes inbound and less than 30 minutes gate to gate, including the dumping time. We rented dozers, haul trucks, compactors, light plants, message boards, sweepers, and modular trailers, and we saw daily volumes ramp up quickly, and by late November, we were working 7 days a week. We continued to bring in support services, namely Republic employees from out of state as well as from Southern California. With the volume of trucks, we made numerous improvements to control stormwater. We placed thousands of tons of stone on the main haul road. We added 2 40-foot sections of rumble grates, and we brought in a truck tire washing station to control track out. We enhanced our drain inlets with wattles and regular maintenance. We hired an outside sweeping company to run anywhere from 5 to 7 days per week on Meacham Road, while our company-owned sweeper worked the internal roads at Central. We utilized outside contractors to provide additional cleanup on Meacham, and we used the county-supervised adult crew from the probation department to clean up the mess that was sometimes there on Meacham, especially in front of the residents in Happy Acres. We would clean their frontage areas, their driveways, their approaches, their mailbox. We even cleaned their trash cans because of the sprays that was coming off the tires of the multitude of trucks. We also increased the frequency of testing our stormwater discharge points to ensure that we remained in compliance with our general permit conditions. Now, concurrent with the fire waste and the regular garbage acceptance, we also commenced construction of a new 11-acre waste cell. Again, your staff worked very closely with us to oversee this construction, and in a period of 45 days, and blessed by good weather, we constructed and completed this new cell, which allowed us to move our garbage landfilling operations into this area. And this is the cell that we now use for daily MSW disposal and will remain our fill area for the next 2 years. In 2020, we plan to construct the remaining cell on the compost deck, which will give us an additional 1 to 1.5 years of airspace. A few statistics from the period of November 7, 2017 through June 30, 2018, we received and landfilled 917,318 tons of fire waste. The single highest one-day total, which was on January 31st, we received 17,100 tons of fire waste and an additional 922 tons of garbage. During that period, we received, so from November to the end of June, we received a total of 59,507 truckloads. The 14-acre cell, which was completed in October, was now two-thirds filled, and the impact to remaining airspace is a loss of roughly 1.5 years. But despite the long days and the hectic pace of activities, we were always mindful of this sobering fact, and that is that every truckload of materials received represented someone's loss, someone's precious possessions. And this fact motivated us to do everything in our power to facilitate this massive cleanup. The central landfill held up well through this cleanup, and I'm happy to report that there are still over 27 years of permitted airspace remaining. We are, as Trish mentioned, currently still accepting some regraded materials from the fire-affected parcels, but on a very small scale, and we're doing that through the coordination of Cal OES and their contractor. I want to thank Trish and Glenn for their untiring work in the Joint Incident Command Structure. I want to thank Terry Chia for her complete and total involvement and support during the past 12 months. I, too, extend my thanks to all the contractors and the other businesses who stepped up and worked equally hard during this cleanup effort. But lastly, I would like to offer my company's sincere condolences to all who suffered losses, even your own Charles Reed. May God be with us as we recover and rebuild. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Chairman Norin. I apologize for that. I'll leave it to you whether you want to ask questions of the panelists now, or I can run through the 2018 wildfire update.
Why don't we just pause here for a minute? Okay. We'll just pause. And I just wanted to pick up, you know, Pete, it's amazing Central Landfill turned out to be quite a community asset in the end of the day, right? I can't imagine. It's the only landfill that's active in the whole North Coast at this point. And I think about other areas that don't have that kind of asset. Question for you. That compost deck, I believe, was over the Central Canyon Access, which was an online part of that fill. And I believe that with the, when we looked at that permit for the reopening of that, that was a line cell, that was a subtitle D line cell. And that turned out to be quite an asset as well, I would imagine, at that same time. And then at the same time, that compost deck up there is an area that's pretty much inundated with leachate that's pumped to the POTW for disposal ultimately. So I'm kind of curious, as that goes, have you guys enhanced monitoring out there on leachate and any kind of post-fill expectations here? Did you guys, of course, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of probably choice here in a big way. I can't imagine you would have said, no, we were not going to take this. But just looking in the rearview mirror now, if you look at the you know, kind of the sequence of that landfill through a line system now that's capturing leachate and all. Have you seen any effect on leachate or any of your stormwater monitoring of environmental impacts?
So relative to leachate, you know, the whole purpose of the underliner was to separate the new waste from the old so we wouldn't exacerbate the issues that have put, you know, the site under corrective action. We obviously every, I think it's quarter, receive a notification from Laguna as to the quality of the leachate and whether it complies with the permit that we have with them. And I think we've received two such notices already that indicate there have been no changes to the leachate quality or makeup, if you will. And you know, we are monitoring that. The nice thing about the controls in what we call C1, which is the first cell that was built on the compost deck, you know, it has an LCRS, a leachate control and recovery system. We improved the removal capabilities by doubling the amount that we can pump out of there. We made those improvements as part of the construction. So I wouldn't say we're seeing a whole lot of increase or change in the leachate, but you know, the goal obviously is to make sure that we manage what was below it as well as manage what's coming in it. I will make one comment, though. The soil and ash debris that went into that waste mass was extremely dense. Very little airspace, in, you know, if you analyze it. And so the compactive results that we got from that were one of the reason why we didn't burn as much airspace as one might have thought. If it was just regular garbage, yeah, we'd be quite a ways behind, probably a loss of over 3 years. But because of how well that stuff compacted, and then, of course, you know, the following thought on that is, you know, there isn't going to be a whole lot of liquid leaching out of that because it's so compact, and the transmissivity of that material would preclude it from, you know, really moving quickly. So.
And Trish and Glenn, I just can't commend the county enough. Glenn, I know that, you know, full disclosure, I've known Glenn for a long time. I work with Glenn as a consultant, and Trish, we work with the county, and just an amazing effort. I mean, Environmental Health just did an amazing effort to get this stuff done, to track it, to keep order, to work through this whole process. It was just an amazing process to look and to experience. And I can't give the county enough credit for a disaster that, you know, it's so weird. It doesn't seem like it was a year ago. It seems like it was so much longer ago now. And it's something that, you know, it's looking back in the rearview mirror and thinking about the looking forward. What do you do next time? And I got to commend the work. Well, you know, it's easy to say things could have been different, but by God, it went pretty darn well, really. I mean, I can't give you guys enough credit. And Glenn, your staff and everybody on Fifth Street out of that office just did amazing, amazing work, I think. So, any other comments or questions? Actually, hold on. Go ahead, Valerie.
Oh, sorry, John. Oh, thank you. Thank you, first of all, for all of your tireless service to our community, and thanks to our partners for taking the time to be here and provide really excellent and thorough presentations. One question that remains for me, and I may be jumping the gun because I think there's more slides to go, but with these wildfires in other parts of our region, where is the debris going, since the Sonoma County site is the only permitted site in the region?
Well, these fires from 2017 were unusual in that there was a very large number of residences and buildings destroyed, and that's what makes the recent fires, the 2018 fires, significantly different than the ones in 2017. Is that these ones, 2018, are largely rural and remote and burning forests. You know, within our region. I mean, obviously the Carr fire, there were a lot of buildings damaged in Region 5, and they'll be dealing with the debris management by themselves.
And I talked to Hay Road recently, which is in Vacaville, and they're expecting to get some of that, Valerie. You know, which is quite a haul if you think about that from Reading to Vacaville. That's 3 hours at $1.20 an hour one way. It's a lot. John, you had some questions.
Do you have any recommendations to change the condition waiver where it didn't go far enough? It was, or any improvements that could be made to the actual language of the condition waiver?
Well, we'll certainly be talking to them more because the state board is actually working on a statewide conditional waiver that will supersede ours. And hopefully they'll take all the lessons learned from our experience and include that, incorporate that into the new statewide conditional waiver.
Yeah, and I think it is wise to look forward here that, you know, whether it be the designated staging areas, whether to have prescriptive waivers in place that are boiler that we could turn around rather fast. You know, the Hanley fire came through basically the same footprint of the Tubbs fire in 1964. It's basically the same fire. The difference was is there was a couple thousand homes out there that had been built. Charles, I believe you were in Coffee Park, and it's just incredible to me that that fire jumped the highway and got into Coffee Park and burnt, you know, that many homes down there as well. I'm interested in how we position ourselves as an agency with others for the next event because, you know, we're knock on wood, you know, it's probably going to happen. It's going to happen. Something's going to happen going down the road that we're going to have some type of need within this same kind of framework. I'm not so sure it's a fire, but whatever it is to try to anticipate that. And to we've talked about it here with catastrophic forest fires, right, with the salvage logging recovery and some of the rapid response that's required out of that, those types of actions. And, you know, looking at this, right, we're actively in a fire season right now. Kelly Gant just left to go because, you know, she lives in Trinity, and Trinity's being evacuated right now on a new fire. And it just seems like there's, you know, it just seems like this is kind of the tenor of the day right now to get through this season. And I'm interested in how we can, as an agency, position ourselves to be more streamlined and more ready for this in the future. I can't at all criticize any of the work that was done in this incident. I think everybody did the yeoman's effort all the way through this thing. But I'm interested in how we do better next time, with no criticism or comment to you know, to what happened here. So, all right. Do you want to move forward and walk through this?
Sure. So this first slide shows the current mostly contained fires now. One that I was made aware of that is left off here is what was known as the Eel Fire in Covelo, just 10 miles out of Covelo. That was about 1,000 acres. That's also 100% contained. But that's one that didn't make it onto the list here. But it's similar to the others, as I'll point out in the end. So this one was in Siskiyou County. It's known as the Klamathon Fire, also contained, burned approximately 38,000 acres. But you'll notice 82 structures destroyed, and those aren't all residences or structures of any sort. The Carr Fire got a lot of press. That was the one that threatened Reading, obviously. Only a small portion of that fire area is within Region 1. And see if I can operate this. No. So our region kind of goes along here. And this is Lewiston, which was threatened but avoided any significant fire damage. So that was a very large fire, almost 230,000 acres. And quite a number of structures destroyed, mostly in Region 5. The Mendocino Complex fires, the two fires combined. There's a map. Let's see if we can go to that. Okay, the map isn't going to open, but I think everybody's seen the map at this point. But those were both very large fires. The Ranch Fire obviously was the largest area fire in California history at over 400,000 acres. Quite a number of structures were destroyed. But by and large, the bulk of that, those the complex fire was on in forest land. The Natchez fire was up north of Happy Camp, up toward the border. That was almost 30,000 acres. And this slide is a few days old, so it may be more than 70% contained at this point. But also another remote fire. There was a Mill Creek fire up north of Hoopa. That's also now 100% contained and at about 3,600 acres. Again, mostly rural area, forested land. So the conclusions are kind of obvious now. Most of these fires are fairly rural and remote areas, quite different than the one we experienced in 2017. So residential damage is limited relative to what we experienced. Fire debris is mostly occurring at the private level. These haven't been state, most of them have not been declared disasters by the government. So hasn't had a federal framework, so money hasn't been available to reimburse. And so most of the fire debris is happening privately. Also, because this is a state, or actually a local operation, it's being led by county LEAs and CUPAs to manage the recovery, which is obviously quite different than we experienced. So, and that should conclude my presentation and our presentation, and we'd like to thank you.
Thank you, guys. We're going to do this. We're going to break for lunch, but after lunch, we have another information item. It's on the monitoring and that type of stuff related to these fires, so it's kind of the other side to look at it. But thank you very much for coming. I know you guys wait around all morning. Appreciate it very much. Appreciate all the efforts. Well done. All right, we're going to break for lunch. We'll be back a bit after 1:00.